primarily because of a scripture that we read in Hebrews in the 11th chapter. It goes on and talks about the hall of faith. And in there, it says it's impossible to please him without faith. So if it's impossible to please God without faith, where in history, besides in the Bible, can I find where men stepped out in faith to prove the gospel of Christ? In John, the 10th chapter, the 16th verse, we read, "Other sheep I have are not of this fold." That's a sticking point. It's something that we believe in the restoration, but it's a sticking point to the world. So I'm going to talk about things in Yucatan, but I'm going to talk about the faith of two men, Lehi, because God told him, pack up your family, your belongings, and go to a promised land. And he did it. And we can read that in the first book of Nephi, his story. Well, then we have to think about the faith of another man, 1830, 1829. Basically, according to everybody in this room, is unlearned. But he had the faith in God to translate a book as an added witness to the Word of God for us to have today when they're changing scriptures dramatically. And that's why this is entitled Out of the Dust, because we're going to talk about, we're going to see things that Joseph Smith had no clue about, and he wrote. Things that Lehi did, an act of faith, and did, as well as many others. So out of the dust, because the Book of Mormon came out of the dirt to us today. And thou shalt brought down and speak out of the dust, the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as one of a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. And I've had people challenge me on this scripture before because of the familiar spirit is typically an evil spirit. But a familiar spirit to us is the Word of God. It should be a spirit that is familiar to us, that we should know, that we should be really to lie on and call upon. And that's in Isaiah 29:4. Yucatan, the land of the Mayans. If you're driving through Mexico and I haven't seen this, I will tell everybody what I did was several years ago when I was traveling in the missionary field with my dad, I sat down and took my Uncle Hugh's 3-hour-long program, and with the help of my wife, condensed it to make this PowerPoint. And I diligently took notes when my dad spoke. If you can find those notes, please tell me, because I would love to have them so I can get them written in here. But I can't find them. So this is going to be out of my memory and Kim's memory. She will probably correct me if I'm going astray, which is right. If anybody knows information that I don't know, please do say so. But the gateway to Yucatan is on this highway, and it goes under that arch that was made by the Mayans. And in Mayan, that is called a sacbe, the road. And the entire country, or the territory that the Mayans, that they claimed was 22,250,000 square kilometers. But we also know, if you know the history, there is a pyramid right across here in the state of Illinois that the Mayans came up to and built. So we're going to compare some pyramids. These are two different types of pyramids in Egypt. You have the step type there, and you have the smooth-sided ones. This here is one of the oldest pyramids in Yucatan. If I remember correctly, we did go there for the 50th anniversary, and some of our members did climb that. And it is a step pyramid. This is Angela Wheaton taking a knife and sliding it, trying to slide it in between two stones. Well, that's one of the things that people say that they don't have and didn't have. They didn't have metal and stone things to cut the block. It was all done by chisel and wood or bone and wood. But yet, in Egypt, they did it precisely. And here in the Americas, they did it just as precise. And I'm going to look at Chichen Itza. And now I have to go to my notes because I can't pull them up on here. The screen's not big enough. And that's why I need my other glasses. In 3 Nephi, in the 4th chapter, the 10th through the 11th verse, it's on page 624, talks about the highway in the area. That when Christ came, the highways were broken up. The level, smooth ways that they communicated and traveled between cities and towns was a sakbe, a road, which we'll see in a little bit later on. And I have to ask the question, if the people were so advanced that they could make things like this without mortar and cut those blocks so precise and fit them that you can't take a knife blade and slide through them or a piece of paper to slide through them, where do they get that knowledge from? Where do they get the equipment to come from? And in Mosiah, the 7th chapter, the 16th through 18th verse, page 240, it talks about building cities. And if you ever get to go down there and you crawl on top of any of these pyramids and you look around out in the jungle, you will see mounds and mounds and mounds of green. Those are all ruins. Those are all buildings that collapsed down and the jungle is reclaimed since they were inhabited. They have a hard time figuring out exactly how many people lived there. And I tried to do some research, and if my memory, I couldn't find it. If my memory correctly, the one here in Illinois had close to 1 million people living in it. They had thousands of people living in here. So when the Book of Mormon starts talking about the number of dead during their wars, here's buildings that had to be supported by life. There are probably thousands, if not millions, inhabitants. Okay. This is El Castillo. It's in Chichen Itza. And if you can see, right here is a doorway. What is the one way you defeat a people? You defeat their god. So if you have a pyramid to your god or a building to your god, what do? You build on top of it. And if you say, nah, they didn't do that, well, I beg to differ with you because the Catholic Church did the very same thing. They tore down pyramids and built Catholic churches upon them. That's how you defeat a people. You defeat their god. Inside of that is this walkway. That happens to be either my dad or Don McIndoo walking back down this narrow passageway. And it is short and narrow. Parts of it is so short that I had to almost get on my hands and knees to go through. And in the very top of that, you see this, and it doesn't show up here very well, and it never does with a camera. It does better on a TV. But it's behind bars because This is the jade tiger. It's one solid rock. You see those dots? Those are emeralds cut and fitted into the stone. And if I remember correctly, it had, I want to say diamonds, but something white and flashy stone that was cut for the eyes. It's a jade tiger that the ruler of the time sat on. In real life, this is blues and reds. This is the other thing I wanted to show you, is that they drew and carved and painted on everything. And it's very beautiful. And some of my uncle's slides were starting to deteriorate when this happened. We always hear of the ball court there at Chichen Itza. This wall right here has carvings all along it on both sides. And we'll look at part of those carvings. That wall is over 6 foot tall. To give you the idea how tall that round circle is. That is this. It is, I don't know how much it weighs. It's carved out of limestone and it's fitted into the block wall. And the story is, they have two teams that play up and down this field, and there's a one on this side, and there's a one on this side, and there's a Mayan basketball. You couldn't use your hands. You had to use your feet and your body to kick whatever ball went through that circle. And you got a point when you got that circle. I happened to be standing at this pyramid, right at the bottom of the steps, clear down at the other end of this, was a group of people that were getting a lecture from a tour guide. I sat and listened to it. The acoustics in there are phenomenal. I could hear every word he said, and I knew exactly what he was telling the people. That is the truth. People want to scoff at that, but that is absolutely the truth. So did they make it that way? I have to believe so. This is one of the carvings on that wall. It looks like somebody took a lathe to a piece of wood and just routed out exact on a computerized course. But these are all stones that were laid and fitted in there. This happens to be, depending on which story you believe, this is the winner, this is the captain of the losing team. They cut off his head. This is the blood coming down from it. These are all feathers, and at one time it was colored. This is another picture of the man kneeling. Head cut off, the snakes flowing out are blood. This is the victor. This gentleman right here is Satan, according to their legend, and he's laughing because of the brutality of the sport. He's winning. And this is a scald head. And this flowing out of his mouth is evil, according to their folklore. This is a sock bay, a white level road, that comes down from the temple. This is where they would take their sacrifices, and they would take them to this cenote, this pond. There's no rivers in Yucatan. All their fresh water has to be dug down, and there's natural wells like this. big ponds. And they would sacrifice their maidens. When they, an archaeologist found out, figured it out, he went in there and built this platform and put a dredge out there and dredged up millions of dollars of gold and gems. Until the Mexican government found out what he was doing, and they put a stop to it, and they started taking it from him. And then a little bit later on, we're going to see some of that stuff that they dredged out of there in the Museum of Mexico. They talk about their god. This is Quetzalcoatl. No. I think it's a Quetzalcoatl. The man of a face of a man coming out of the serpent's head. But look at how the stones are fit in and how they're tight. Also in that area is the Temple of the Warriors. This is a rattlesnake or a sidewinder. The nice horns on it, it's carved. Goes down here and it goes up, and then you see the rattles up at the top. That was part of the pillars for the roof. This is a chacmool. It was a seat of the judge or the king to sit on. What's important about this is two things. One is this. You see all these columns? They're all perfectly round. And they're all the same height. They're level across there. I can't reach around about half of it. So they had to have machinery to pull that up. And if you read in not only Mosiah, but in Genesis, it talks about building machinery and tools, brass and iron and steel. The other thing that's important about that is this right here. They have a fence over it when I was there in early 70s. Being young and stupid, I crawled out on top of that fence, took my camera, hung it on a stick so I wouldn't lose it, fitted it through the chain link fence, and then used another stick to try to take a picture of this because I wanted a better picture. But all I could get was the bottom part of it. So this is the picture that my uncle had. Now, there are several things about this that should be interesting to us. One is the symbol for water. If you look at Egyptian writing, hieroglyphics, it's the same symbol. There's a white man who is a slave to the darker colored skin. Book of Mormon tells us that the Nephites were subjugated. This is their houses. If you go down there, when I first went down there, and you walked up to a typical Mayan home, this is what their house looked like. Up here, they say, is a school. Man is kneeling, he's being taught. It's a better picture of it. I got this out of a book at Adam Porter's house. And another picture on the opposite wall. So they knew colors. They knew certain symbols. We were told in the Book of Mormon that Nephi was taught after his parents and a Reformed Egyptian. So they knew about Egyptian art and Egyptian folklore, something Joseph Smith didn't know about. This is a painting that happened to be in, now it's hanging in the museum in Mexico City. According to lore, this is Cain and Abel fighting. This is the serpent deceiving Eve. If God wasn't introduced to these people, how'd they know this? If they didn't come from a place where God was in their lives, how would they know Cain and Abel if they're indigenous to here, which is Jewish scripture? Right off behind El Castillo is a pyramid. But what's important about this walkway through here is this right here. Inscribed on the lintel of this doorway dates 430 AD, showing that the carving, especially the horse that I'm going to show you, was there before the Spaniards arrived. And in the scriptures, he talks about the animals, horses and curlums and cumans. Well, we don't know what a curlin or a cumin is. This is their auditorium. Is that the word for it? No. Observatory. They knew how to track the stars. And they had a good calendar. In fact, what was it, 2 years ago, 2012, the Mayan calendar was supposed to come to an end, and the world was supposed to end when it stopped. I believe they just ran out of stone. They wrote on their calendar the date until they ran out of stone. And that's where they stopped. But you look at certain holes in here, you used to be able to go up in there. They align with certain stars and certain positions of the sun to set up dates for planting crops, for irrigating, for doing whatever they were going to do. And they were so right on, they were actually were ahead of the Egyptians at the same time. Kind of dark. I wet the stone down to try to make it better, but I couldn't. Right here is a man astride a horse. His head is up here. You see his ears and his tail, and it is a horse. You can see it better on my little screen. Dated 600 AD. Somebody tell me, do you remember when the Spanish got here? It was after 1492. Long time before. This was a picture my dad took just because he thought it was pretty. I want it because I want to show this is a solid stone that's carved. Look at the angles, still there. How sharp that is for a snake's head. This is another Sock Bay. It's a road going out in the middle of the jungle, and the locals still use them today. They ride their horses and walk across it, and everything they do, if they drive, they drive the highways, but if they're walking between little villages, they use the Sock Bays that are there. The White Road. An archway, you can see the remnants of a wall. And to get in and out of the city, you had to walk through this archway. And in Nephi, the third chapter, we read, and it came to pass that there were many cities built anew, and there were many old cities repaired, and there were many highways cast up, and many roads made, which led from city to city, and from land to land, and from place to place. 3 Nephi, 3rd chapter, verse 8. One thing that has puzzled archaeologists is our arches. It does not have the Roman keystone. That's why there's not a lot of them standing. They built up, They get up there to that point, and it's a flat stone set on top. And then another stone's built across it to stop it from falling in. But when the stones at the top wear off, the arch caves in because there's no keystone that locks it into place like with the Romans. Pile a rubble of buildings that were there. And this is at Kaaba. Once again, look at the round pillars. What you can't see here is where they, if the pillar broke, they used cement to set the pillar back down on. And we read in Mosiah, the third chapter, 35th verse, it said they were, in Helaman, the second chapter, 9th and 10th verse, that they were well used to working with cement. But all these columns here are perfectly round, set on top. It's like these, only smaller. You can't convince me that they used a piece of wood and an antelope antler to carve those. They're too perfect. They had to have metal. Each of these little stones are about like that, about an inch and a half wide, and they're all cut and fitted inside those things and fitted together. And they loved their artwork. You can see all the faces that were drawn. Those round stones up closer. You can see this crack right there where they put cement in it to hold it, as well as there's some others. But they're nice and even and round. See, the Temple of the Dwarfs in Uxmal. This is unlike the other pyramids because it's rounded. But this is another pyramid that's built on top of maybe two other pyramids. They found an entryway to another pyramid down in there. They opened it up and tried to air it out to be able to go down in there and look. And from what I understand, the Mexican government came in and filled it with cement and wouldn't allow them to go in and see what was down there. Mexican government put a chain there to help you go up, and the steps, 12 to 18 inches in height, about 6 inches each step. Little feet. I had to go up sideways. The only person that went up and down that pyramid easily was Michelle Ely with her purse, and she did. She just up them and right down them, and we just shook our head and I grabbed the chain and I went up sideways. From up on top, you can look out here. It's hard to make out the mounds. There's another pyramid there that's all broken that they're trying to put together. This area is called the nunnery. More very fine artwork. Back in here was another mural, and it's plaster. That's what it looks like. It looked like lath. I tried to get a picture of it with the flash for some reason. I could not get a good picture of it, but it looked like they just put plaster on it. Temple of the Turtles. And you can walk up there. I wish this was more in focus. and you look at it and say, that's a snapping turtle, that's a tortoise, that is a box turtle, that is this, that is that, that is that. You can see and tell what turtles they are, and they're different. But they're all carved out of a single piece of rock. Plus the columns again. Can't remember exactly where in the slide thing it is, but this archway is going to become an important archway in a few minutes. And it's about 25, 30 feet up. And you can see where they brought the mound up, built, brought in dirt and rock, another mound up and built, and another mound up and built. For whatever reason, nobody knows. But they're very industrious. So this is the archway that goes into the nunnery. And this is what it's so important about that archway. If you look right there, you will see a handprint. That is a red handprint. Legend has it, the bitter white god came, rose up and put his bloody palms on the rock. And is still there today. What bearded white god had bloody palms? But you can see it here. The thumb, finger, finger, finger. Walking through, this is the courtyard you'd walk into when you go through that. Christ talks about meeting people. I can see him standing on that riser and talking to the multitude that are left alive when he got here in that city after he put his palm prints on the archway. More fine artwork. Not real clear. Let me see. This is the head of a snake with the, which represents God, has the face of a man in it. And the snake winds all around. I'll back up. And they know it's deity because that plume on the tail says it's deity. So here's his head. The snake winds, and there's his tail. And over here's another one. And we multiplied exceedingly and spread upon the face of the land and became exceedingly rich in gold and in silver and in precious things and in fine workmanship of wood in building and in machinery, and also in iron, copper, brass, and steel, making all manner of tools for every kind to till the ground and for weapons of war, yea, the sharp-pointed arrow and the quiver and the darts and the javelin and all preparations of war in the Book of Mormon. Those holes, I put my hand through them. I did. I thought it was like a stock. I was being funny. But they're smooth and it's perfectly drilled through. Just like you take a drill bit, an auger, and drill through to put your door handle. In Genesis, Chapter 4, verse 22, it talks about brass and iron. So if they had that information in the old country, why wouldn't they have had it here when they came over? Also, we read where Nephi was told how to make, to where to find ore to melt, to have tools to make the ship. So they had tools. They had metal things, things that were sharper than the, and harder than the stone, and could carve and chisel and do different things. A stela, which is just a headstone that showed a man that they say is a priest or one of preaching of God. That you see his headdress up there. It said that he's of the priest order. And then you see that it's coming down, which is his beard. And it comes out and it's got three faces on it. That he's speaking the word of God, according to their legend. Very young Don McAdoo, standing next to a solid stone carved. This is out of the Olmec. So, did the Jaredites? What did they know? What did they bring with them? The time frame is right on the mark with the time frame that Joseph Smith said they came over in the Book of Mormon. They carved those things. Another stella rocket, but it's kind of hard to see in the shade. Solid stone. This is a priest, you can tell by his headdress, holding a baby. So now the question is he holding the baby to bless it? Or is he holding the baby to sacrifice it? Archaeologists say it's a sacrifice. But I choose to believe it's blessing the baby. And when he had said these words, he wept, and the multitude bore record of it, and he took their little children one by one and blessed them and prayed unto the Father for them. And when he had done this, he wept again. He spoke unto the multitude and said unto them, behold your little ones. And they were encircled about with fire, and the angels did minister unto them. And the multitude did see and hear and bear record that they knew that their record is true, for they all of them did see and hear every man for himself. 3 Nephi, chapter 8, verses 23-26. Words from the dust. Another stone with another priest picking up out of it. What is interesting about this stone is today, you see all this white stuff around it? That was ash. When Dad and Don first went down there, when they took those other pictures, at nighttime in full dress regalia, a man walked in there and sacrificed on this stone. They were told, do not be here after dark. Dan and Don looked at a little bit of what they could see. When the sun started setting, they listened, got in their car, and left. They did not want to be there after dark because that man was coming in to sacrifice an animal. The Ambassador Stella. In the Book of Mormon, we read this, or some scholars suggested this may have represented the chief commander Moroni and his title of liberty in Alma 21st chapter. And the reason why they say that is because of the flag that he held. His headdress made him a commander, and he's dressed like a warrior. What is interesting, which they don't know what it means, is what looks like an elephant here, Mickey Mouse there, and then the moon. They haven't been able to translate those three symbols. But the scholars are arguing about who it is and what it's doing. More headdress of a warrior and fine artwork One time this was colored, blues and greens and reds. This, according to their folklore, is a man named Nephi teaching his son, Nephi. Their folklore. Is it folklore or is it truth? This is Michelle's fault. The stone that looks like a rabbi in the museum of in Mexico. Picture of a rabbi. I wanted to talk about Palenque. Then I'll wrap this up a little quicker, just show you the pictures and not talk so much. We read that King Benjamin had him build a tower inside of a temple. This tower is built inside a temple in Palenque, which is in Chiapas, Mexico. Pardon me? When I looked it up, it says, interesting. Because I looked it up today because I thought it was Belize too, and I was wrong. Okay. But what's important about that is this right here. They always said, well, they didn't have pyramids here because they didn't find anybody embalmed or buried inside a pyramid. Down in the bottom of that temple, they found this. I don't know how much that stone weighed, tons, over top of a king with this face mask, which is jade. They still don't know how to cut jade without cracking it. True jade. And then fit it together to make a face mask. This is the picture of the stone. For those of you that Van Donegan, that gods must be crazy. He said this is a spaceman coming down in a rocket. Temple of the Crosses. There's a picture again of that tower built inside the temple. These stones were supposed to be 12 apostles, but they had a volcano that erupted, the ash. These were laying face up in that yard, and the ash slowly but surely leached it until somebody went in and got the government to allow them to set it up and clean them up. This was a canal that brought in fresh water, and it trickled all the way through the whole city. So they had fresh water running. As I said, there's hardly any rivers. There are no rivers. There's only two in southern Mexico. This is a spring that flows to one of them. When we read about Waters of Mormon, I wonder if this could be it. Tulum, we talked about, and Nephi talks about having fortifications built, large mounds of dirt and deep ditches around cities. Here's Tulum is a perfect example of that. With my dad standing in the archway. This walk wall is about 14, 15 feet wide, 25, 30 feet high on top of that big ditch. And at night they had a gate. You can see where they closed the gate. The only gate that was open was this one right here. And I had to get down on my hands and knees to crawl through it. What better way to defend a city? This is also the city that Cortez sailed around because he was afraid that they had cannons that were going to sink him. So he sailed out and around and away from them if you read history. And you can see once again the lintel. More artwork. the descending God here. They say it's ascending angel, but right next to it is, in an archway, the bloody handprint, red handprint. This is artwork in Chillicothe, Ohio. These are pipes. They have a whole bunch of them. Solid stone. They drilled a small hole through and a big hole down. And that's really hard rock. How'd they do it with bone? And make it so round. Metal arrowheads, or obsidian arrowheads, excuse me. Artwork that was pulled out of there. They say that this is an eagle. Looks a whole lot like a parrot to me. ...32-pound axe head, copper. You thump it, it rings. What do we know about copper today? It's more of a soft metal compared to steel. But we can't temper copper to make it ring. They did. This is all in Ohio. All those mounds are buildings. Once again, the artwork. Different kinds of pyramids. Possible baptismal fount had steps going down in it. They said it wasn't deep enough to have water, like a spring. So what was it for? But they could tell it had water in it. Round wheels. Some of them had holes drilled through them that were square. So you fit a beam in there. So was that a wheel for some machinery with an axle? Writing in Mayan on the rock wall that went around that pyramid. More artwork. This is one solid piece of stone, and that's a much younger, thinner Hubert standing there next to it. Weighed tons. It was lifted and put into place. Cement. This is all ancient. This is cement. You go down in that hole, there's my dad standing there. And down in there is this room that has symbols on it. You can say it's a running cross or the swastika, but it has crosses in it and it's all painted red. More cement pillars. Big rock, smooth with a cut down in it, and then it broke off. I don't think they did that with a piece of string or a hunk of leather. Remember what I said about how you defeat a god? This is one of the many Catholic Church built upon pyramid. It was the temple of the people that was there. And we have to remember that when Landa came in, he had them burn all their books and smelt down all their gold. So Mayan language became unknown. They couldn't translate it. They've been working on it for a long time. Other thing of interest, this picture was taken by Clarence Wheaton. I would like to know where this is. I would love to go see if it's still there. This is a stone that that has the Ten Commandments written in Hebrew and Phoenician in Mesa Verde, New Mexico. How'd they know Phoenician? How'd they know Hebrew? The phylactery, they have pictures of young men with bindings on their wrists and phylacteries, just like the Jewish do for the coming of age. Dizzy Talchum, through another Sonoita and a Sakbe, and you had to go up these steps, go into this small door, go through this building to get down another set of steps to get into the city, inside the walled city. And I was told by an old guy that was standing there when I was there the first time that they used to place guards in there to stop people coming. And the rancher knocked down the walls so that his cattle could go in and out to water. This is outside of Mexico City, if I remember correctly. More art. But what's important is this. They found burials down off the edge of that mesa. They found this death mask made of solid gold. And they found this necklace. Silver bells that ring. Do not remember what this one is. Another material, red coral that only comes from the Mediterranean. They know, it's like uranium. They know where it was made and who made it and when. They know that this coral only comes from the Mediterranean. And then turquoise and silver. 55 pounds, I believe, if I remember correctly, was found on one of their dead deities. The elephants, remember we talked about Kilim and Kirim? An Ankh, Egyptian Ankh over here. This is on one of those pyramids there outside of Mexico City. The other meaning of an Ankh, Michigan, means copper. They know that copper from this mine went to Middle East because they know where the copper came from because it's got certain elements in it. And they also found it down in Mexico. Temple of the Sun and the Moon. The plumed serpent again. Basalt, hard rock to carve. This was carved and then moved to Mexico City at the museum. Dating back 2200 BC. Just for interest, this tree, the Tulum tree, they said that it'll die when Christ returns. The branches on that tree are bigger than most of your trees around here. They're huge. And that tree started to die in 2012. More rock carvings, weighs tons, that was moved to the museum in Mexico City. There's the calendar stone from the Mayans. Cups that were carved out of solid rock. The lizard, they say it's a jackal. Looks very Egyptian. Picture of Quetzalcoatl, the bearded white god. But this is why I wanted to try to get down through there, is boxes. Why would a stone box be important to us? What did Joseph Smith find the emblems in? A stone box. Archaeologists said, well, they didn't have any stone boxes. I got pictures of them right there. When you're down in Mexico, you see these all over in their watering troughs for their critters. And there's also little jewelry boxes like this in Mexico City Museum. This is a jewelry box, one of many there. Look how well and fancy that was carved. And jewelry. They have an earring made of gold and silver. It's called the mother-in-law's earring. They give it to your mom-in-law when you get married. You know why? So you can hear her coming. Those ring, and that's what they're called, mother-in-law earrings. Breastplates, and Mayan breastplates, Egyptian breastplates. That necklace, once again, gold, silver, coral, and turquoise. The emblem for life. There's that through there because of this. Surgical sites. This is a skull flap that's healed. So the guy lived. They tried to do surgery on this one, and he didn't live. But look at the cuts. They're relieving pressure or removing something. This was found down there. Knives. Metal knives. And obsidian spear points. Talks about money in Alma. This was found in south of in Peru, I believe, the Incas. They found it in a vault. They said this is their money, all solid gold rings. Cloth that they made. And I am told Clarence Wheaton tried to put his, that he was holding there, underwater, and it's still watertight. More pottery and jewelry boxes. We know that they had wheels on their toys. So if they had wheels on their toys, why didn't they have wheels on their machinery? More toys, a chariot. The Stella Stone, Stella 5. Supposed to be the story of Lehi's vision. This is Lehi. This is Nephi learning from Nephi. This is the river of dirty water and the tree of life. And it was found face down outside one of the pyramids. And I exhort you to remember these things, for the time speedily cometh that you shall know that I lie not, for you shall know, you shall see me at the bar of God, and the Lord God will say unto you, did you not declare my word unto you, which was written by this man, like as one crying from the dead, yea, even as one speaking out of the dust, I declare these things unto you, unto the fulfillment of the prophecies, and behold, ye shall proceed forth out of the mouth of the everlasting God, and his word shall hiss forth from generation to generation. Moroni. The faith of Lehi to leave Jerusalem. The faith of Joseph Smith to listen and pick up plates of brass and gold and translate them into the Book of Mormon. And the proofs that I just showed you. And I'm sorry it took over an hour. It's Michelle's fault. And I hope this was of some benefit.